The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, continuing with the final portion of Chapter 23, The Supermental Instruments, Thought Process. Top of page 856. The ordinary language of the intellect is not sufficient to describe this action, for the same words have to be used, indicating a certain correspondence, but actually to connote inadequately a different thing. Thus, the supermind uses a certain sense action, employing but not limited by the physical organs, a thing which is, in its nature, a form of consciousness, and a contact consciousness. But the mental idea and experience of sense can give no conception of the essential and characteristic action of this supramentalized sense consciousness. Thought, too, in the supramental action, is a different thing from the thought of the mental intelligence. The supramental thinking is felt at its basis as a conscious contact or union or identity of the substance of being of the knower with the substance of being of the thing known, and its figure of thought as the power of awareness of the self, revealing through the meeting or the oneness, because carrying in itself a certain knowledge form of the object's content, action, significance. Therefore, observation, memory, judgment, too, mean each a different thing in the supermind from what it is in the process of the mental intelligence. The supramental reason observes all that the intelligence observes, and much more. It makes, that is to say, the thing to be known the field of a perceptual action, in a certain way objective, that causes to emerge its nature, character, quality, action. But this is not that artificial objectivity by which the reason in its observation tries to extrude the element of personal or subjective error. The supermind sees everything in the self, and its observation must therefore be subjectively objective, and much nearer to, though not the same as, the observation of our own internal movements, regarded as an object of knowledge. It is not in the separately personal self, or by its power, that it sees, and therefore it has not to be on guard against the element of personal error. That interferes only while a mental substratum or environing atmosphere yet remains, and can still throw in its influence, or while the supermind is still acting by descent into the mind to change it. And the supramental method, with error, is to eliminate it, not by any other device, but by an increasing spontaneity of the supramental discrimination, and a constant heightening of its own energy. The consciousness of supermind is a cosmic consciousness, and it is in this self of universal consciousness in which the individual knower lives and with which he is more or less closely united, that it holds before him the object of knowledge. The knower is, in his observation, a witness, and this relation would seem to imply an otherness and difference. But the point is that it is not an entirely separative difference, and does not bring an excluding idea of the thing observed as completely not self, as in the mental seeing of an external object. There is always a basic feeling of oneness with the thing known. For without this oneness, there can be no supramental knowledge. The knower, carrying the object in his universalized self of consciousness, as a thing held before his station of witness vision, includes it in his own wider being. The supramental observation is of things with which we are one in the being and consciousness, and are capable of knowing them even as we know ourselves by the force of that oneness. The act of observation is a movement towards bringing out the latent knowledge. There is then, first, a fundamental unity of consciousness that is greater or less in its power. More or less completely and immediately revelatory of its contents of knowledge according to our progress and elevation and intensity of living, feeling, and seeing in the supramental ranges. There is set up between the knower and the object of knowledge, as a result of this fundamental unity, a stream or bridge of conscious connection. One is obliged to use images, however inadequate, and as a consequence, a contact or active union enabling one to see, feel, sense supramentally what is to be known in the object or about it. Sometimes this stream or bridge of connection is not sensibly felt at the moment. Only the results of the contact are noted. But it is always really there, and an after-memory can always make us aware that it was really all the time present. As we grow in supramentality, it becomes an abiding factor. The necessity of this stream or this bridge of connection ceases when the fundamental oneness becomes a complete active oneness. This process is the basis of what Patanjali calls samyama, a concentration, directing or dwelling of the consciousness, by which, he says, one can become aware of all that is in the object. But the necessity of concentration becomes slight or nil when the active oneness grows. The luminous consciousness of the object and its contents become more spontaneous, normal, facile. There are three possible movements of this kind of supramental observation. First, the knower may project himself in consciousness on the object, feel his cognition in contact or enveloping or penetrating it, and there, as it were in the object itself, become aware of what he has to know. Or he may, by the contact, become aware of that which is in it or belongs to it, as, for example, the thought or feeling of another, coming from it and entering into himself where he stands in his station of the witness. Or he may simply know in himself by a sort of supramental cognition in his own witness station without any such projection or entrance. The starting point and apparent basis of the observation may be the presence of the object to the physical or other senses. But to the supermind, this is not indispensable. It may be instead an inner image, or simply the idea of the object. The simple will to know may bring to the supramental consciousness the needed knowledge. Or it may be the will to be known, or communicate itself of the object of knowledge. The elaborate process of analytical observation and synthetical construction adopted by the logical intelligence is not the method of the supermind. And yet there is a corresponding action. The supermind distinguishes by a direct seeing, and without any mental process of taking to pieces the particularities of the thing, form, energy, action, quality, mind, soul that it has in view, and it sees two with an equal directness and without any process of construction, the significant totality of which these particularities are the incidents. It sees also the essentiality, the swabhava, of the thing in itself of which the totality and the particularities are the manifestation. And again it sees, whether apart from or through, the essentiality or swabhava, the one self, the one existence, consciousness, power, force, of which it is the basic expression. It may be observing at the time only the particularities, but the whole is implied, and vice versa. As for an example, the total state of mind out of which a thought or a feeling arises. And the cognition may start from one or the other and proceed at once by immediate suggestion to the implied knowledge. The essentiality is similarly implied in the whole and in each or all of the particulars. And there may be the same rapid or immediate alternative or alternate process. The logic of the supermind is different from that of the mind. It sees always the self as what is, the essentiality of the thing as a fundamental expression of the being and power of the self, and the whole and particulars as a consequent manifestation of this power and its active expression. In the fullness of the supramental consciousness and cognition, this is the constant order. All perception of unity, similarity, difference, kind, uniqueness arrived at by the supramental reason is consonant with and depends on this order. This observing action of supermind applies to all things. Its view of physical objects is not and cannot be only a surface or outward view, even when concentrated on the externals. It sees the form, action, properties, but it is aware at the same time of the qualities or energies, guna, shakti, of which the form is a translation. And it sees them not as an inference or deduction from the form or action, but feels and sees them directly in the being of the object, and quite as vividly, one might say, with a subtle concreteness and fine substantiality, as the form or sensible action. It is aware, too, of the consciousness that manifests itself in quality, energy, form. It can feel, know, observe, see forces, tendencies, impulsions, things abstract to us quite as directly and vividly as the things we now call visible and sensible. It observes in just the same way persons and beings. It can take as its starting point, or first indication of the speech, action, outward signs, but it is not limited by or dependent on them. It can know and feel and observe the very self and consciousness of another, can either proceed to that directly through the sign, or can, in its more powerful action, begin with it, and at once, instead of seeking to know the inner being through the evidence of the outer expression, understand, rather, all the outer expression in the light of the inner being. Even so, completely, the supramental being knows his own inner being and nature. The supermind can, too, act with equal power and observe with direct experience what is hidden behind the physical order. It can move in other planes than the material universe. It knows the self and reality of things by identity, by experience of oneness, or contact of oneness, and a vision, a seeing, and realizing ideation and knowledge dependent on or derived from these things. And its thought presentation of the truths of the Spirit is an expression of this kind of sight and experience. The supramental memory is different from the mental, not a storing up of past knowledge and experience, but an abiding presence of knowledge that can be brought forward or, more characteristically, offers itself when it is needed. It is not dependent on attention or on conscious reception, for the things of the past not known actually or not observed can be called up from latency by an action which is yet essentially a remembrance. Especially on a certain level, all knowledge presents itself as a remembering, because all is latent or inherent in the self of supermind. The future, like the past, presents itself to knowledge in the supermind as a memory of the pre-known. The imagination, transformed in the supermind, acts on one side as a power of true image and symbol, always an image or index of some value or significance or other truth of being, on the other as an inspiration or interpretative seeing of possibilities and potentialities, not less true than actual or realized things. These are put in their place either by an attendant intuitive or interpretative judgment, or by one inherent in the vision of the image, symbol, or potentiality, or by a super eminent revelation of that which is behind the image or symbol, or which determines the potential and the actual and their relations and, it may be, overrides and overpasses them, imposing ultimate truths and supreme certitudes. The supramental judgment acts inseparably from the supramental observation or memory. Inherent in it as a direct seeing or cognition of values, significances, antecedents, consequences, relations, etc. Or it supervenes on the observation as a luminous disclosing idea or suggestion. Or it may go before, independent of any observation, and then the object called up and observed confirms visibly the truth of the idea. But in each case, it is sufficient in itself for its own purpose, is its own evidence, and does not really depend for its truth on any aid or confirmation. There is a logic of the supramental reason, but its function is not to test or scrutinize, to support and prove, or to detect and eliminate error. Its function is simply to link knowledge with knowledge, to discover and utilize harmonies and arrangement and relations, to organize the movement of the supramental knowledge. This it does not by any formal rule or construction of inferences, but by a direct, living, and immediate seeing and placing of connection and relation. All thought in the supermind is in the nature of intuition, inspiration, or revelation, and all deficiency of knowledge is to be supplied by a farther action of these powers. Error is prevented by the action of a spontaneous and luminous discrimination. The movement is always from knowledge to knowledge. It is not rational in our sense, but supra-rational. It does not sovereignly what is sought to be done, stumblingly and imperfectly, by the mental reason. The ranges of knowledge above the supramental reason, taking it up and exceeding it, cannot well be described, nor is it necessary here to make the endeavor. It is sufficient to say that the process here is more sufficient, intense and large in light, imperative, instantaneous, the scope of the active knowledge larger, the way nearer to the knowledge by identity, the thought more packed with the luminous substance of self-awareness and all vision, and more evidently independent of any other inferior support or assistance. These characteristics, it must be remembered, do not fully apply even to the strongest action of the intuitive mentality, but are there seen only in their first glimpses. Nor can they be entirely or unmixedly evident so long as supramentality is only forming with an undercurrent, a mixture, or an environment of mental action. It is only when mentality is overpassed and drops away into a passive silence that there can be the full disclosure and the sovereign and integral action of the supramental gnosis. End of chapter 23, The Supramental Instruments, Thought Process,